Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be led before governors and kings for my sake, as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say. For it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now, isn't this a fascinating reality? That the church, in her liturgy, just as we're beginning the Christmas season, and it is now an entire season, lasting a few weeks, confronts us immediately with a martyrdom. We've been wearing on Christmas Eve and Midnight Mass and Christmas Day the white, glorious vestments representing light and joy. And today it's red, representing bloodshed. We're rejoicing at this gentle, lowly baby in a manger with angels singing and Mary and Joseph rejoicing. What a beautiful sight that makes us smile. And today we have a sight that makes us horrified. Stephen being stoned, shedding his blood for Christ. He's the first disciple to become a martyr. In fact, on the day after tomorrow, we'll be wearing red again because we'll be celebrating an entire group of martyrs who did not even know why they were being martyred. The Holy Innocents, the children killed by the decree of Herod because he was so fearful of this newborn king that had been announced. Brothers and sisters, even in the Christmas readings, and let me take once again those readings here, we heard of the wood of the cross. First of all, the reading from yesterday that we heard from the letter to the Hebrews talked about what Jesus accomplished to purify sins. How did he accomplish the purification of sins? By the shedding of his blood, his death on the cross. In the Midnight Mass, we hear from St. Paul's letter to Titus that God's grace has appeared, and this is in our Savior Jesus Christ. But then it goes on to say, our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from lawlessness. How did he, what does Paul mean? He gave himself for us. He shed his blood for us on the cross. The cross is never far from the crib. They go together. God took on flesh at Christmas precisely so that flesh could be offered back to the Father on the cross. Jesus would not be able to shed his blood for us unless he took on human blood by becoming the Word becoming flesh. The reality of Christmas and the reality of the cross are two sides of the very same coin. He came to give himself, giving himself in his humble birth, giving himself in his humble death, giving himself in the Eucharist. This is all of one beautiful spiritual dynamic of salvation, of Christ opening the way for us for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of life eternal. St. Stephen teaches us that this child that is born is one who demands absolute fidelity. After all, the angels did say, "The one born for you today in the city of David is Christ the Lord." Not simply the Messiah of the Lord, but the Messiah and Lord. This is God who is born in the manger. So therefore, he deserves our complete loyalty, even at the cost of our lives. The child is our Christmas gift. We rejoice to receive him. But today reminds us very clearly of what it is that we are receiving when we receive him. It is not only the joy of his coming, the beauty of love, the gift of redemption and forgiveness, reconciliation and salvation, resurrection. It is also persecution and crucifixion. Look what he says in this gospel. Here's one of the promises of Christ. You will be hated by all because of me. The joy of the Christmas bells does not mean that everything will happen according to our liking if we are followers of Christ. Because indeed, we will be hated if we're faithful to him. If we don't try to hide our discipleship, if we don't bow to the politically correct mindset of the world, but if we are clear witnesses of Christ, if we don't compromise with morality, fudge it and make it malleable and relative and, oh, what's right and wrong, well, it doesn't really matter. But rather stand up for truth and stand up for morality and stand up for justice and proclaim what is right, no matter what anybody else thinks. Well, then, brothers and sisters, we will be hated, rejected, ridicule. Jesus said, blessed are you when this happens to you. And now we're getting closer to the idea of Merry Christmas. Not that no one is ever going to bother us or everyone's going to treat us nicely. But rather, the meaning of Merry Christmas is that we have a joy because of the coming of God that survives any kind of mistreatment that we endure because we are followers of Christ. Stephen, you don't get the sense of this in the first reading, but actually we read from two different sections of the Acts of the Apostles. The reading started off talking about how people were debating Stephen and he was speaking clearly the truth. And by the way, you know, preachers are supposed to preach the gospel with clarity and conviction. God broke into human history at Christmas. Christmas is God in human language. So we don't preach a question mark. Our preaching is not supposed to be leaving people scratching their heads and wondering what's really true. It's supposed to be an exclamation point. So Stephen is doing that, and the people who heard him didn't like it. But then he went on. They brought him to the Sanhedrin, which is like the Supreme Court for the Jewish people. They brought Stephen before the Sanhedrin to answer for the things he was saying. They were accusing him falsely, but at the same time, he was saying things truly that they didn't like. For example, what he was saying was, all throughout your history, you have been rejecting God's word. He said this to the Jewish leaders. You rejected the prophets, you stoned and killed the prophets. And then when God sent his son and Jesus came, you killed him too. He says, you're opposing the Holy Spirit. Open your minds, open your hearts, repent of your sins, and accept Jesus Christ. Well, they didn't like to hear that. They didn't like to think that they were unfaithful. They prided themselves on regarding themselves as the faithful chosen ones. Well, they were chosen, but they didn't recognize the gift that was being placed before them. And so Stephen rebuked them. You are opposing the Holy Spirit. You crucified the very Messiah that he sent. And he's saying this now to the Sanhedrin. He's saying this to the top leaders of the council. Now remember, Jesus himself had been called before the Sanhedrin. And the high priest said, "You have heard the blasphemy." And he tore his robes when Jesus claimed to be sent from the Father and equal to God. Jesus was before the Sanhedrin. The apostles in the chapter just before what we're reading here about Stephen, the apostles are thrown into jail for bearing witness to this child that was born and grew up and preached and whose every word is the word of God, to which we owe absolute loyalty and obedience. The apostles were put in jail for preaching about this child. "You will be hated by all on my account." But then the angel of the Lord released them in the middle of the night, remember? And then the Sanhedrin all gathered the next day because they were going to have the apostles brought to them. And they all gathered in a solemn assembly, and the guards had to come in there shamefacedly and say, "Well, we went to the jail to get them, to bring them into you, and they weren't there." And then somebody said, "Look, they're out there now preaching to the people." So they brought them in without any show of force because they were afraid the people would stone them because the people loved what they were saying. And they had them flogged. They had them whipped. But then they went back, those apostles did, to their gathering place. And they weren't sad. They weren't discouraged or depressed. They weren't even angry. They were rejoicing. Why were they rejoicing? They were rejoicing, the Acts of the Apostles tells us, rejoicing at having been counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the name. That's a Merry Christmas right there. Everyone's against us. People are harming us. They are opposing us. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to restrict our freedom. All because we are followers of this child who has been born. We are to rejoice. Merry Christmas doesn't mean things are going our way. It means we have access to God. And in the midst of all these trials, he is working out our salvation. This we rejoice in. No one can take that from us. No one could take Stephen's awareness, his conviction, his peace of mind from him, even as he was in the midst of being stoned. And by the way, this was not a lawful death sentence. This was a lynching. The Sanhedrin, although they decided matters of dispute among the people, could not put anyone to death. That's why they had, even though Jesus came before the Sanhedrin and they said, "He has committed blasphemy, he deserves death," they could not put him to death. Remember, they had to hand him over to Pilate, the governor, who was under the authority of the Roman Empire. They could put people to death. Same thing here. They could not legally put Stephen to death, but they didn't care anymore about legalities. They just rushed out and stoned him. Similarly, we see with Paul. Paul was brought before the Sanhedrin, again, for the same reason. He's a follower and proclaimer of this Jesus. Paul was brought before them. Paul was smart to know the differences between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, so he started speaking in such a way that pitted them against each other. And they ended up fighting with each other instead of against Paul, debating about angels and spirits and resurrection. So, but the point is that they were going to do the same thing with Paul. Remember, 40 people vowed to kill Paul. And they said, "Well, let's on a pretext send to have him summoned by the Sanhedrin, and on his way there, we'll attack him." Sanhedrin couldn't put anyone to death. But these lawless haters of Christianity decided to do so. By the way, this is the same Paul who actually participated in the death of Stephen, but then, of course, was converted. You hear at the end of this first reading today, as they were stoning Stephen, they were laying their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul, who would become Paul, the great apostle and preacher to the Gentiles. You will be hated by all, but that's no cause for losing your Christmas joy. We're in a battle. We're in a war. We're in a war for the defense of God's rights over human life itself. We're in a war against abortion. We're in a war for the freedom to worship Him as we see fit. Unfortunately, we're in a position where we have to be at war with one of our major political parties, the Democrat Party, which has set itself against faith, God, the right to life, the right to religious freedom, and many other things. Look, sometimes people will say, oh, well, we're not supposed to be political. Brothers and sisters, I have news for you. Christmas demands that we fight the enemy of Christ, however that enemy manifests himself. We have ardently longed for the coming of Christ. We greet Him, born in Bethlehem. We sing, O come, let us adore Him. Well, that's what the reason we're celebrating St. Stephen today. We're wearing red. This is what it means to adore Him. Adore is something that you only do to God. And it means absolute obedience to Him and loyalty to Him, even to the point of being willing to lose your life and shed your blood. And we have a situation today among too many of the followers of Christ where they'll sing, oh, come, let us adore Him. But not only are they not willing to lose their lives and shed their blood, they're not willing to have somebody criticize them and say to them, oh, well, I don't like what you're saying, or you're being too political. So are we to celebrate the faith? But then if a political party attacks that faith, we're not supposed to defend it? If a political party attacks Jesus Christ, we're not supposed to stand up and say something? What kind of welcoming of Christ is that? What kind of, oh, come, let us adore Him, is that? It's fake. We have to speak up for this Jesus whom we adore and be ready like St. Stephen to give our very lives for Him. And I don't care which way the enemy wants to manifest himself. If he wants to manifest himself in a vision, if he wants to manifest himself in some ugly philosophy that comes along, or some false preachers, we're going to speak against them. And if he wants to manifest himself in a political party, and that's what has happened today with the Democrat Party, well, then we're going to fight against him just as hard and just as strong and just as clear and just as consistent and just as explicit as if he appears in any other way. Otherwise, we're giving power to the enemy. Whose side are we on? Come, let us adore Him. Come, let us proclaim Him. Come, let us defend Him. Come, let us preach Him. Whether it brings us applause or persecution, come, let us give our lives for Him. For He is born for us now, Christ the Lord. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.